Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. I know many of you listening today may not be able to join us on Sunday mornings, but you can always watch our live streams on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream worship. Fellowship, write in your prayer requests, write in questions, connect and grow in Christ. If you miss all those opportunities, you can go to our YouTube channel and watch any of our services. Our YouTube channel is The Seed Christian Fellowship, and you can watch our weekly worship services, our weekly sermons, our weekly children's messages. Our prayer is that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We've been doing a series called In Christ for the past 6 weeks, and we're here today to wind it up and look at what it means to really live in Christ. In this world, there's so much pressure to be and to do. So often we put our identity in what we do. Sometimes that is the first question that is asked when you meet someone new. Hey, what do you do? Or what did you do? What do you do for a living? Our identity is in what we do instead of who we really are in Christ. In the ministry, the first question that is asked when a bunch of pastors are together is, where did you go to school? Part of our identity is often related to our education. The next question that's asked when you're a bunch of pastors is, how big is your congregation? Trying to size everything up. Where did you get educated? And how big is your congregation? Another part of our identity is looking at me. Our identity is not found in what we do. Our true identity is found in whose we are. If we are found in Christ, our identity is solid and secure. Maybe a good so what question to kick off the day. So what? Who or what do you put your worth and value in? Who or what do you put your value in? My greatest joy is to see someone's life transformed by the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I have pastored large churches, and I've pastored small churches. Maybe because I'm a second career pastor, I went into the ministry already knowing whose I was. I am a son of the King of Kings. Since we began this series like 5 or 6 weeks ago, we've been looking at some of the most powerful and life-transforming verses in the Bible. Remember that, quote, in Christ, unquote, or in Christo, as it would be pronounced in the Greek, in Christo, the definition is to be in, or to be among, or to be with, or to be nearby, or to be in union with, in Christ. Let us take a quick synopsis of our series, real quick. The first week of our study, we read Romans 3:21-22. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Christ Jesus to all who believe. In Christ, we've been given a righteousness that is not our own. We have been given a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. Because our faith, we are found to be in Christo, in union with Christ, and our righteousness is traded for Christ. Did you hear that? Our righteousness, which is not very right, if traded for Christ's righteousness, which is totally right. The second week, we looked at Colossians chapter 1, verses 3-5. Here it is. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you because we have found, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel. Because of our faith in Christ, we have a new type of love. We have a new hope that springs up for us in heaven. We are found to be among, with, nearby, and in union with Christ simply by believing. The third week, Paul taught us these powerful words in Philippians chapter 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Listen. We've been looking at this study, and we're you know, I'm asking you to spiral up, find your peace that's in Christ. The fourth week, we continued in Philippians 4:19, and we learned, my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Have you noticed exactly what it is we trade? We trade our belief in Christ for God's glorious riches. The radiance of heaven is ours. Pretty great trade right there. The fifth week, we looked at what Paul wanted to teach us. In Christ, we are a new creation, and with this new identity in Christ, we are reconciled to God in Christ, perhaps the greatest trade-off of them all. By being in Cristo, we are made new. The old is gone. The new is here. Our old filthy rags are exchanged for Christ's new glorious ones. By being in Cristo, we are reconciled to God, and we are given the ministry of reconciliation. An old pastor friend of mine would often remark when we heard something profound. He would say, oh, I need to take 2 Tylenol and go lay down and think about that. So let us pause and dedicate this time to the Lord Jesus in prayer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, only you can transform our lives. Today we celebrate you as Christ the King. We fully embrace that you are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You're the Alpha and the Omega. We humbly ask that you will heal us and make us whole. We are in Christ, and we are here to worship you and you alone. In the holy and powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1. Again, verses 15 and 20, and then we'll pick up at 27. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to be reconciled to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all this energy, which so powerfully works in you. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in the body, I am present with you in spirit and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Christ, rooted and built up in Christ, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Christ you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but by the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. Wow, take a break and think about all that. Maybe a few good so what questions for us to ponder. What does it mean to you personally to have a life in Christ? I would love to hear from you. Email me at PastorDave@TheSeed Christian Fellowship. What does it mean to you personally to have a life in Christ? What does a life in Christ look like? What words would you use to describe your life in Christ? We've talked about righteousness in Christ, faith in Christ, peace in Christ, riches in Christ, forgiveness in Christ, new creation in Christ, reconciled to God in Christ. Those are the last sermons that we had or messages here on the program. The Bible is supremely overall the book about our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is a record of the preparation of Christ's coming. The New Testament Gospels present Christ as God in human flesh. The Gospels tell us that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the book of Acts, the message of salvation and the freedom found in Christ begins to spread from Jerusalem throughout the entire world. The letters, which are called the epistles, detail the theology of Christ's work in the body. This body is called the church. Finally, the book of Revelation presents Christ on the throne, reigning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. From beginning to end, the Bible is about Jesus Christ. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. Our prayer team would love to pray for you. Go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship. Click on the prayer link and write your prayer out. If you want to correspond, need a question or need something, just email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship. Every part of Scripture testifies about Christ Jesus. As the two disciples were on the road home to Emmaus after Jesus' death, we are told these words from the Gospel of Luke. Beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, Jesus explained to them the things concerning himself in all of the Scriptures. Luke 24:27. Friends, if you want to know who the Bible is all about, look to Jesus Christ. In all of the Bible's teachings about Jesus Christ, I believe that the verse from Colossians 1:15-20 carry a weighty cost. Many scholars believe that this very passage was an early hymn or creed of the church. They may have sung this song about Christ in creation, Christ in the church, Christ in reconciliation. This powerful passage removes any needless doubt or confusion over Jesus' true identity. I believe we find our true identity in Christ. Let me say that again. I believe that we find our true identity in Christ. If you're looking to find out who you are, find Christ. In Christ, we have justification. In Christ, we have redemption. In Christ, we have forgiveness. In Christ, we have adoption. In Christ, we have reconciliation. Freedom in Christ. When thinking of our identity in Christ in theological terms, think of it this way. In Christ, we who are sinners stand before God, guilty and condemned, but we are declared righteous. Romans 8:33. In redemption, we who are sinners stand before God as a slave, but are granted freedom. Romans 6:18-22. In forgiveness, we who are sinners stand before God as a debtor, but the debt is paid and forgotten. Ephesians 1:7. In adoption, we who are sinners stand before God as a stranger, but we are made a son and daughter. Ephesians 1:5 and Romans 8:14-16. In reconciliation, we who are sinners stand before God as enemies, but we become God's friend. Colossians 1:20 and 2 Corinthians 5:18-20. Jesus Christ is the revelation of God and the revelation of true humanity. This was the tension and debate of the time as we entered into the book of Colossians. In the city of Colossus, there were false teachers who were teaching a false doctrine called Gnosticism. These false teachers were called Gnostics. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means knowledge. The Gnostics believed that people were saved by having special knowledge.
Wow.
The Gnostics thought that God did not create the world because, in their view, matter was evil and God cannot create evil. Believing that matter was evil, they argued that God would not have come to earth as a human in bodily form. They did not believe that Christ was the unique Son of God, but rather one of many, well, intermediaries between God and humans and God and people. In his book, Souls on Fire, Elie Wiesel tells a remarkable tale. In faraway Krakow, in days when sleep was often disturbed by dreams, there lived one Isaac, son of Yekel. Isaac was a poor man whose family seldom ate their fill. One night in a vivid dream, he saw the distant city of Prague. He saw a river flowing through the city, and under a particular bridge, he saw a buried treasure. When he woke the next morning, the dream had not faded. It is clear and vivid images remained etched in his mind. That night, the dream returned. The next night, every night for 2 weeks, Isaac had the same dream in which he saw the city of Prague, the river, the bridge, and the buried treasure beneath the bridge. Finally, he decided to walk all the way to Prague to see for himself if the dream might be real. After several days, he arrived in the city. Even though he had never been there, he recognized it and knew it well from his dreams. He found the bridge, went under it to search for the treasure, and then suddenly was grabbed firmly by the back of the neck by a soldier who dragged him away to prison for interrogation. The soldier sat him in a chair and said, "All right, you, what are you doing prowling around under the bridge?" Not knowing what else to say, Isaac decided to tell the truth. "I had a dream that there was buried treasure under the bridge, and I was looking for it." Immediately, the soldier burst into mocking laughter. "You stupid Jew, don't you know that you cannot believe what you see in your dreams? Why, for the last 2 weeks, I myself have had a dream every night that far away in the city of Krakow, in the house of some Jew by the name of Isaac, son of Yekel, there is a treasure buried beneath the sink in his house. Would not it be for the most idiotic of actions if I were to go all the way to Krakow to look for some Jew that does not exist? Or there may be 1,000 Isaac, son of Yekel. I won't waste a lifetime looking for a treasure that is not there." With uproarious laughter, the soldier stood him up, opened the door, gave him a good kick, and let him go. Naturally, Isaac, son of Yekel, walked back to Krakow, back to his own house, where he looked beneath the sink in his own kitchen, found the treasure buried there, and lived to a ripe old age as a rich man. The treasure was at home all along. Friends, it's been a long few weeks for me. I've had some surgeries. I've had 2 surgeries in 8 days. As you can see, I have quite a wound on my nose requiring me to wear a bandage 4 to 6 weeks until I see the doctor and set a date for a skin graft. That is quite a terrible sentence for a person who makes his living preaching and facing people. The 2 surgeries have taken a big toll on my outlook and my energy. I've been down and disappointed. My wife, Ever, the encourager, started sharing with me about what this fall series was meant to her. She said, "Dave, it is like the Word of God handed me a key to a treasure box. By simply believing in Christ, by simply having a mustard seed of faith, I've been given so many crazy good things. God simply took my faith and did heavenly math. God multiplied my joys. God divided my sorrows. God added Christ's righteousness. And finally, God subtracted my sins. Talk about the best investment I've ever made. This is it. And all I did was believe. God did the rest. God has seriously handed me the key to the biggest and best treasure box of the world. Because I am in Christo, I lack nothing. I have everything. The old me is absolutely gone, and the new me is in Christ 24/7, 365. Here I was sitting at my computer trying to type out some kind of message that made any sense, and all the while feeling really sorry for myself, having a pity party for one And God used my wife as if to say, you think I can't work with a guy with a bandage on his face? We continue in our scripture, rooted up and built up and strengthened in the fullness of Christ. Look at that when Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you receive Christ as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you are taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Colossians 2:6 and 7. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over all of the power and authority, Colossians 1:9 and 10. Do you see the outline here in Colossians? In a city of darkness, Paul writes, 1, receive Christ as Lord, 2, live in Christ, 3, be rooted in Christ, 4, be built up in Christ, 5, be strengthened in Christ, 6, overflow with thankfulness in Christ, 7, the fullness of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, lives in me in bodily form, and 8, I have been given the fullness of Christ, and Christ is the head over every power and authority. What a wonderful encouragement for us to conclude the message in Christ. Don't you see it? No matter what, Christ is the action giver, and we are the benefactors. We believe, we receive. We are given the key to the treasures of a lifetime. There is not a darkness that will put our light out if you are in Christ. More than 200 Muslims in Gaza have reportedly asked to follow Jesus after meeting him in dreams. Christian professors and presidents of Risen Jesus Incorporated, Mike Lacona, said he received a report from underground Christian ministries in Palestine detailing miraculous conversions. God is working in the midst of the war. He shared recently in a Facebook post, over the past 2 days, we have ministered to hundreds of fathers who have lost most, if not all, of their children in the war. As we moved these men to safety, we fed them, washed their clothes, and began to read the Bible to them, sharing the way of peace through Christ. Then a big miracle happened. Last night, Jesus appeared to more than 200 of them in their dreams. They have come back to us to learn more from God's word and are asking how to follow Jesus, Lacona said. God can use a dream to change the world. Some years ago, a woman in Africa became a Christian. Being filled with gratitude, she decided to do something for Christ. She was blind, uneducated, and 70 years old. She came to her missionary with her French Bible and asked her to underline John 3:16 in red ink. Mystified, the missionary watched her as she took her Bible and sat in front of a boys' school in the afternoon. When school dismissed, she would call a boy or two and ask them if they would knew French, and when they proudly responded that they did, she would say, please read the passage underlined in red. When they did, she would ask, do you know what this means? And she would tell them about Christ. The missionary says that over the years, 24 young men became pastors due to her work. This blind African woman had it all. Her identity was in Christ. In Christ, she made a change. In Christ, she had a purpose. So what? What do you think? What do you think God is doing in your life? We have learned, as we have traveled through our series in Christ, there is a bottom line. When we are in Christ, God multiplies our joys, divides our sorrows, adds Jesus the King to our lifetime. Let's pray. Almighty God, before the creation of the world, you chose us to become like us. You chose to come to this earth. We give thanks, you're the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and my prayer is that you'll be in Christ today and forever. God loves you, and so do I. See you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.